At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Timo Almas Daly, and actually I'm your only host this time because I'm joined by a friend of the podcast and very special guest from the Break Check F1 podcast, Megan Mara. How are you today?
I am doing great. How are you doing today?
Not too bad, thank you. It's Monday, we survived, and we get to talk about something that isn't F1 in the off-season, so can't really complain too much. So, we are here, like I say, not to talk about F1, but to talk about the Race of Champions, because as I said, it's the F1 off-season, so we get to cover a bit of motorsport that we wouldn't normally get to do, which is lovely. So first things first, Megan, Race of Champions, is this your first time properly watching it? What's your history with it? What were your initial thoughts?
Yeah, this is my third or fourth time watching it now. I started watching it after I got really a lot more into Formula One, and I just absolutely love it. I think it's a great weekend to look forward to during the off season. And for me, and I'm sure others, it's also a nice way to watch some drivers that I don't normally follow throughout the year. And it's a bit encouraging to follow some of these other series that are outside of Formula One or IndyCar that I usually do pay more attention to.
Oh, definitely. And cough, Nitro Rallycross, cough, cough is going to be my plug there.
Yeah.
But I've got to agree with you there. I mean, I watched it fully last year, and then I think I've seen like bits and pieces. I haven't watched it as much as I probably should have. I think that's just due to where it's been broadcast and where I've been, and the fact mm-hmm. that it's January and you kind of forget that motorsport can happen in January. But kind of when they show clips from previous years, I'm like, oh yeah, I do remember that. So when you had Vettel and Schumacher Senior representing Germany, it's like, I do remember that as a kid, actually, now that I think about it. But then it's been so long since then and life gets in the way. But I'm glad I've been able to get back into it the last couple of years. And this year in particular, it was, like I was saying to you before we started recording, the Saturday was decent, but it worked mm-hmm. perfectly as like a first part, because then the Sunday was the bigger and better sequel for me.
Mm-hmm. So many good drivers this year as well. It was a tough competition for everyone.
Oh, definitely. It was kind of, and I'm glad it wasn't the people we thought were going to win mm-hmm. who actually won, because for me, I don't know how much you know about Christofferson, for example, mm-hmm. but in Extreme E, and then when he turned up in World Rallycross, because I've watched a little bit of that, and then the one time he turned up in Nitro Rallycross, you're just like, oh no, everyone else is screwed. He's just so damn good behind the wheel. It's kind of annoying. It's like Hamilton mm-hmm. in his domination years. You're kind of like, you kind of hope you're a fan of his, because otherwise you're not going to be in for the most interesting of time potentially. But he didn't manage to do it on either day. And it was just, obviously, sorry, Christofferson, sucks to be you on that one. But it was nice for us.
Right.
But yeah, like you say, he had a whole bunch of drivers. So I think we'll go with Saturday first of all, so we can go through all the drivers mm-hmm. and the teams that were there nation by nation. Because Saturday, of course, was the Nations Cup. So Finland, there's a lot to say there. But first of all, yeah. Valtteri Bottas and Mika Häkkinen were the ones representing. So on paper, a very good combination, Megan.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting more from them this year, honestly. And especially with Bottas, I know he was meant to race last year. I can't remember what happened and he had to drop. But it was interesting seeing them quickly get beaten by the E team, right?
Which in itself, I was wondering why they were there to begin with. Like, fine, if you absolutely have to do an E version, not that I'm sure anyone's watching anyway. No, mm-hmm. it's not my thing. I don't know about you, Megan, but I just could not care less.
No.
Okay, good. I'm not trying to preach against that, though, but perfect. I thought, yeah, fine, you do your thing in the corner. We leave you there. What are you doing bringing them on there? And then you think, mm-hmm. okay, Bottas and Häkkinen, no problem. They'll just take care of them immediately. And then you just think, oh, for God's sake, they get beaten first round straight away out by these people who, like, okay, you can drive a car, but everyone can drive a car. And Bottas is a bloody Formula One driver who half decent, less decent now in my eyes because of this. And Mick Hakkinen, who's won two damn championships for crying out loud. I wasn't prepared to be screaming at my TV because of motorsport this early in the year, Megan. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. It seemed like maybe they were just there for the fun of it.
You
Even
hope
when they were
so.
in even when they were interviewed, they seemed pretty un not even unsurprised, just not really upset either way. So
It's the
not
kind of awkward thing there of, yeah, okay, we're here for fun and for a good cause because all the money that gets won does go to a charity. But at the same time, doesn't mean, I mean, okay, David Coulthard, for example, for Team GB, you know that he is just there for hits and giggles, you know? But you kind of think Bottas maybe less more so than Häkkinen would take it a little more seriously. I don't know, but it just the vibe I got from him, especially because he's done a little bit of rallying, whereas Häkkinen, you know, he doesn't care at this point. They're having a laugh, but it just yeah, frustrated me a little bit, shall I say.
Yeah, especially given Sunday's race too, neither of them seemed very I just expected more the entire weekend, and you never really saw it coming.
No, definitely. But amusingly as well, because you look at all these drivers, and obviously it's called Race of Champions, just going back to Coulthard there for Team GB. And you think, okay, they've won a championship, they've been there. But then I was thinking, what has Coulthard won championship-wise, actually? Because I can't, because obviously we know who's won F1 Grand Prix, and he came second a couple of times to Michael, but that's not a championship. So I was just a little Google, and this might amuse you if you don't know which ones he's won, Megan. And for those at home, he had two championships. I think it was, this is what it's called there, I'm probably getting it slightly wrong now, but British GB3 back in 1989.
Oh gosh.
But it counts as a championship, so he's allowed to come. I just love how far back you can make that go there.
Yeah, really dragging that one out.
Oh yeah, but I mean, good fun, and I think he definitely was there for having a laugh, and Jamie Chadwick taking it a bit more seriously, but at the same time, when you specifically asked to go up against Vettel for Sunday, you kind of know what you're letting yourself in for there. So if it doesn't go your way, which it didn't in her case, you can still say you went up against Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah, and even with her loss, she seemed to be having the best of time. I mean, it was fairly close, I think, at one bit. So,
Oh, definitely. But yeah, like we say, so that was Team GB, Coulthard and Chadwick. Team Germany was then Vettel and Mick Schumacher. Back together again at last. I'm sure you weren't the only person who was very happy to see
No, it genuinely made my whole weekend until I realized that it was probably the only time I would see them racing this year, but alas.
couple of FP1 sessions, maybe for Mick if we're lucky, but yeah, still not racing, is it?
Yes. No.
But
Not the same.
yeah, no, Team Germany then beat Team GB, which not too surprising, considering history of us going against each other in sport, but there we go. Team Norway then was quite a fun duo as well. If you were having the heartwarming stuff for Vettel and Schumacher, then father and son here of the two Solbergs, that was quite nice. And obviously they did very well, as we'll get to. And again, kind of, we see it a lot in Formula One. You have a father come and do it, maybe in the 70s, the 80s, and then 20, 30 years later, you see the son coming along. But you never really see them race together, so it's nice to actually see that for a change.
And I believe they won the 2022 together as well, no? Which
Yeah, they
was,
did. They were coming in defending
yes.
their title and were successful at it, which, when we see how many drivers and the different calibers they were going against, makes it even more impressive there.
Yeah. And I expected a bit more from Team France too as well. So seeing those two
I think Team
battle it
France did
out,
as
I
well, to
mean,
be honest.
yeah. Yeah. Very, very good.
Yeah, no, Sebastian Loeb coming off a tricky Dakar that he managed to claw back a decent amount with after a tricky first week there. But he won it last year for the individual champions race on the Sunday, but he was not able to get the team's thing this year. And yeah, his her teammate, sorry, Tambay, again, decent driver, but I think again it was just, I don't know, Solbergs were just unstoppable, and everyone else either seemed to be, I think they either seemed to be taking it seriously, and that maybe added to some pressure, or you were just kind of doing a Coulthard and we're here for some fun.
Yeah, Team Sweden was quite strong too. I expected who was it? Kristoffersen. Both of them, I mean, they were competitive the entire weekend. It was
Oh,
very fun to see them
definitely.
go up against some of these guys.
Yeah, and Ekstrom as well. He's kind of, I don't forget about him because I've interviewed him when he was back in Extreme E, and very nice guy and very approachable and everything. And but it's just when you have Kristoffersen there, you kind of think, oh, that's where the benchmark is. So seeing Ekstrom's kind of just he's there in the background, and he kept doing it
Yes.
throughout the 2 days where he would win, but he would only just win. And you think, is he playing with the opponents, or is he just genuinely getting a little bit lucky each time here?
Yeah, and seeing them battle out, which we'll talk about on Sunday, that was quite the surprise for sure. So very
No,
good for
definitely. I
Ekstrom.
thought that was
Yeah.
definitely going to go one way, and it went the other. So, but
Yes.
together they were an absolute powerhouse. I mean, it was best. It was whoever could get to kind of best of five. But if you get like three or over, you then obviously you automatically are beating the other team, and they beat Team Nordic 4-0 straight set in Saturday's racing. So it just shows that those two together, very fun battle to watch when they're against each other, but when they're together, whew, tough competition to beat. Then Vesterlund, Mick as well, then managed to do what Bottas and Häkkinen couldn't do and beats Team Erok. Thank God for that. Team All-Stars,
know.
which was then Felipe Drugovich, Formula 2 2022 champion, and Thierry Neuville, who, having done some research on him as well, only driver there who doesn't actually have a championship. He's won a lot of rallies, but as far as I can make out, didn't have a championship, so I'm kind of wondering why he was there. But, you know, it's not that serious, so I suppose I'll allow it.
Yeah, I had never heard of him honestly until this weekend. So I had to look him up a little bit. I was looking at the grid of people that they had posted, and it was fascinating. It, you saw Kristoffersen, who had, whatever, 17 ROC wins, and then it just said Neville, and he was, just kind of there.
He's also here, yes.
Yeah.
But they did pretty well as a team, beating Team USA, which Tanner Faust, no stranger to a good bit of mad driving there, stuntman that he is and racing driver in his own nature, and Travis Pastrana, who literally the weekend before had been racing on ice with Nitro Rallycross up in Canada. Didn't seem to do him much of a favor there, but he did have a lot of fun from what we could see on social media. And you may have noticed on the Sunday when you were watching more of it, they had passengers in their cars at that point. And Travis, for his first one, I think it was on the Sunday, it was his mum with him in the car. So she was in Race Champions as well, which I find quite amusing.
I love that though. That's another thing I quite enjoy about Race of Champions is having people, sitting in the car on that Sunday, getting a bit of an experience, what they're feeling in the car.
Yeah, I think Mick took his mum out on Friday for a hot lap in the car as well. So like everyone should bring the family, get them in the car, have their fun. So I was like, oh no. She's probably thinking, I managed to get away with this for so long. How did I manage to end up here now?
It's a very unique family outing, that's for sure.
Definitely. And not one we're jealous of at all.
No, never.
Yeah, it was a shame Team USA though. They say not to pick them too much because they did have strong pace, but unfortunately Pastrana's car when oh sorry not Pastrana Faust's car did fail on him won the last race where they were going up against Team All Stars, which was quite unfortunate because that's not really what how you want to lose that really. Fair enough, driver error or you just get beaten outright, but when the car fails you, it's a bit of a bummer. So it was a lot of potential there, but hopefully they can come back next year because I'm sure you'd quite like the Americans to do a bit better. Don't worry, I won't rub it in too much, and I can't say much myself considering who I had on my team.
Fair enough.
We had to wrap up the rest of Saturday. You had Team All Stars then beating Team Germany of Vettel and Schumacher. The Norway then went up against Sweden and beat them, which was the Solbergs beating what we thought was the unstoppable powerhouse of Kristoffersen and Ekstrom. So that was quite interesting. But then you kind of had to have a proper country win the Cup of Nations because if it'd been Team All Stars, it'd been a bit awkward. So the two Solbergs, father and son of Petter and Ollie, managed to beat Drugovic and Neville 3-1 to retain the Nations Cup for a second year in a row. And I think it's fair to say they were really rather happy about it.
Oh, of course. I will say I love to see the son-father duo winning it again. I think they had a great Saturday. My hope next year is that someone, maybe a bit different. I wouldn't say Team EROC, but
Not that
I
different, Christ.
won't put my bid there. But maybe another Scandinavian country.
I'm trying to think who else could come into it because, again, you'd need to have the championship there. But it does make me want to see more of these father-son combos around the place. I know that Kevin Magnussen has said he wants to do Le Mans with his dad at some point, and that would be quite fun to see.
Oh
But
yeah.
again, you maybe need to. I don't know if they let you in if you just win Le Mans. I suppose they could make an exception considering the race that it is.
Right.
But I'm just trying to think. Yeah, it's. I'm sure there's other family things out there. If you know, let us know in the comments below, obviously, because we can't think of anything right now. But I definitely like the vibe they had there. And obviously, with it just being a 2-day event, they're so happy about everything on Saturday. But then immediately on the Sunday, you've got to go up against each other. And then family ties, they really get tested in that case because you're going against your son. Like, do I help him win or do I show him who's still got it?
Yeah,
So we'll move on to the Sunday then, which we did watch properly and in full. Well, both of us did anyway. I've kind of outed you there. Apologies for that. David Coulthard straight out though, straight away, having a bit of fun, but didn't help himself, I don't think. 2-1 to Tambay,
I mean, he
which
did have a pretty big mistake, so.
yes. I mean, he did. It was entertaining. It was the very least. It's if he's not got the speed, he's always entertaining on and. Wherever else on track he decides to go, let's put it like that. But then one of the other drivers that forgot to mention just now was Felix Rosenquist, who was there. And he again, not bad for a first time at the Race of Champions. And I don't know about you, Megan, but nothing against Mick here whatsoever. But if you'd put those two up against each other, I wouldn't have been so sure that Mick would have beaten him quite as badly as he did.
Be honest, there were a few times Mick went up against people and I was not as confident as he turned out to be. But yeah, I think I mean, even with the spin out that Rosenquist had in the second heat, I still think Mick would have secured the win. Maybe not as big of a gap necessarily. But yeah, I agree. It was a bit of a surprise to see how well Mick did, especially in that first heat.
No, definitely, and that kind of that rookiness to it in terms of the youth of the drivers there definitely kept coming through because Drugovic, again, if you think Drugovic versus Häkkinen in equal machinery, who's going to win there? Beats him 2-0. I'm like, all right, okay. I mean, I know Häkkinen didn't do brilliant on the Saturday, but you think maybe he'll bounce back on the Sunday? No. Drugovic just comes in again. It's you wonder, are there a couple of people who just have enough logic at Aston Martin thinking, is it too late to try and put him in a seat with Alonso this year? Can we still not
Oh,
make
I wish.
that
Who
work?
knows? I mean, with Latifi out of F1, I mean, all the pressure's on Stroll and maybe Sargeant now, to see who's making the most mistakes on the grid. Maybe we can sneak him in there soon.
Was going to say that's a bet that we're both going to make on the same side, so it's not really going to be too fair on that one, but. Because we know how that's going to go regardless. But yes, we'll go back to this because then Mick Schumacher again coming out of it 2-0 straight win against Adrian Tambay for France just kept going. And Vettel then beat Chadwick 2-0, which not really a surprise that one, which was probably the
No.
first non-surprise of the Sunday, to be honest. Nothing against Jamie Chadwick, but you are going against Sebastian Vettel. That's always going to be tricky.
And I believe from the bit that I saw on Saturday, did Seb when Jamie beat him, didn't he have a jump start? Isn't that kind of why
I
she
think
beat him?
he did, but she also did enough, I think, that she would have probably just pipped it anyway. So it was kind
Oh,
of he didn't
still
help
one.
himself on
Fair.
Saturday. So she did give him a little bit for his money for his money there. But
Fair.
come Sunday, it was back to business as usual, unfortunately. But she did have a lot of fun with it, and that's the main thing there. Like you say, it's we don't know we hadn't seen a race for a little while because of W Series ending early last year. And obviously she's going to be in Indy NXT later on this year, but we've still got a little bit to wait for that. So it's just nice to see her back out again. And I was there thinking, who else could we have had, champion wise, as women to come and join? Because obviously, Jamie, it sounds bad, partly responsible for there not being any other W Series champions there because she just won all three of them.
All of them.
But I was thinking you could have the two women who won Extreme E Championships. So you'd have Molly Taylor from Australia, then,
Oh,
which,
right.
you could bring in Mark Webber then if you need another Aussie. Because he won Le Mans with, oh, not sorry, Le Mans. He won the World Endurance Championship 2015 with Porsche. And then you've got Christina Gutierrez, who won in Extreme E last year with Sebastian Loeb. So you've got Spain there. Just get Carlos Sainz Sr. in and you're sorted.
Of course. Oh,
A lot
could
of
you
fun to
imagine
have
Carlos
there.
Sainz Sr.?
I know,
That
I
would
know.
be quite a good team.
All I'm saying is if it happens next year, you know where they got the idea from.
Yes.
But then back to business as usual, Bottas. Yeah, not a good weekend for him. Lost 2-0 to Tom
No.
Christensen. And second race was pretty close at least, but still, Mr. Le Mans did absolutely wipe the floor with him. And yeah, hopefully that's not a sign of how Bottas' year is going to go, because it's going to be a very long year for him otherwise.
No, it was quite funny. I saw because he did have that 5 second penalty where he had lost, and he said he goes when the when the lights are off and away we go. So he made that kind of joke of a comment when he was being interviewed, just because it flashed and it was still yellow instead of green. So fair
You
enough,
got to
but
imagine he gets pulled over by the police a lot if he keeps doing that in normal everyday
yeah,
life.
right. So not really the best excuse, I would say.
No, we'll let him be. He's got a fun mullet at the
Yeah, it's
moment,
all
so we'll just
right.
let him be.
It's not what's employing him, so fair enough.
Then Neville beat Loeb 1-1, but with a time advantage of 0.040 seconds, which,
Ah, yes.
what an upset that was, because we weren't expecting him to beat Loeb in the first place. Never mind by such a brutally small margin, which I love that that could, you can only get that at Race of Champions, I feel like.
Yeah, that was fascinating to watch. I really expected Loeb to be much further in the finals than he was. Bit of a shock, but it's pretty impressive too to beat someone like him at that speed as
Yeah, I
well.
mean,
It's really
again, because
this
you've got
close.
two laps and you just kind of have to floor it. And obviously, you've got one longer lap and one shorter lap because of how the whole thing works. But again, for it to be two drivers with such experience there, I mean, Loeb on his own is more experienced than probably most of the other grid combined. And then for
Right.
Neville to just come along and still, or Neville, sorry, even by that smaller margin, it shakes things up nicely. To go back to what I was saying before, it's kind of exactly what you want from a sport. You can't be guaranteed to win if even if you are Sebastian Loeb. Christopherson then, having said that, did beat Tanner Faust 2-0. So
I was just thinking that as I saw that.
which I feel sorry for Tanner, but it was his first appearance there since 2009, so he's probably a little rusty on that one, to be fair. But again, he's a nice guy, had a lot of fun, and I don't think he minded too much.
No, and also it was fascinating the Battle of the Silbergs to see the son beat out his dad. I'm sure that felt good for him a bit.
I've got to say, though, that second race did seem a bit dodgy for me, with Vettery. He seemed to just
Yes.
ease up a little bit at the end. I'm like, I don't know about that. Did you just suddenly forget which pedal was the accelerator there, Mr. Solberg Sr.?
Yeah, right.
But nah. Ekstrom then beat Pastrana 2-0, which was unfortunate. But to be fair, Pastrana did make a mistake going over the other side of the track during the second race and ruining my chances for him, my hopes for him. I've written there fudge, but I wrote a different word before then to express my annoyance at that. Yeah, it was unfortunate, especially considering he'd been in Canada the week before and he's going to be in Calgary again next week and for more Nitro Rallycross in the snow. So I was kind of hoping he could get a little bit further, but we had fun from him. We've got a memorable moment from Race of Champions with him, and we got to see him promoting better Nitro RX out there, which I'm always happy about.
Yeah, Pastrana is one of those drivers I haven't really paid much attention to, but after this weekend, I definitely want to follow it a bit more.
Oh, he's to sum up Travis Pastrana to you in one little story. When Nitro Rallycross went to the US for the first time this season, it was, I think it was Minnesota, and they went fully American on about the whole thing, to the point where if you go and look on socials, you will find him with a podium, with a massive banner, Union American flag behind him, doing a State of the Union address to all the drivers in the audience and the crowd that were there.
Oh, can't get more American, that's for sure.
No, it's a lot. I'm pretty sure there was an eagle somewhere as well, knowing them. So it was a lot of
There's gotta
fun.
be.
Back at the Race of Champions, though, before I get too distracted there, Schumacher then managed to beat Drugovich 1-1 on time after both amusingly crashed out on the second lap of the second race, but then kept going, and somehow managed to get over the line. It was mad.
That was probably one of the most intense bits of the entire weekend that I had watched, just because, Schumacher in the first round had beat him by just over 3 seconds or maybe 3.5 seconds. And then in the second time, I mean, it was just neck and neck. And then Drugovich hit something, and then everyone's just like freaking out. And then not even like 2 seconds later, you see Schumacher hit the wall and go over the thing. And so it was insane the whole time. And they really don't last that long. So it was a lot of emotions for, a good minute.
No, I mean, if you've got a long race, it's like 4 minutes long. It's ridiculous. But it was, yeah, I think as well with, I don't know about you here, Megan, but for me, Schumacher having done so well up to that point, you think, oh, come on, it would be nice, but I dare not say anything. I don't want to manifest that in the world, and then he gets jinxed and I ruin that for him. I'm like, oh, good,
Okay.
Drugovich. And then he's like, no, what are you doing, Nick? You have this perfect opportunity. What are you doing?
Yes, exactly.
Vettel managed to keep our heart rates back down again, though, because he beat Christensen 2-0 and kept going on. And Thierry Neuville then beat Oliver Solberg 1-1. But this was also a little bit of a different scenario, because while it was on time that he got the difference, Oliver Solberg, who was the favourite coming into the Sunday, you're laughing already because you know what's coming, but he did a
I
very interesting crash in the first race, coming over the bridge that they have before you go over the start finish straight, well, on one of the sides of the track. And he crashed into that and took pretty much most of the advertising board with him over the bridge and got it absolutely wedged in his front right tire. It just, did you see them trying to take it off? They were really struggling for a while there.
Yes. Oh my gosh. I mean, it's stuck. I mean, you might as well, it looked like it was super glued to the thing at that point. I mean, I would have just let it go. I'm genuinely surprised that he was still able to race after taking out an entire advertising board. I know those are both quite expensive and quite large, so
It reminded me of Bottas's pit stop in Monaco a couple of years ago. I was like, they can't, that just can't get it off. Can't get it off whatsoever. It's the other equivalent of
yeah.
that. But no, then he couldn't pull it back, unfortunately. He still needed to beat him on time if he was gonna win the race, and just didn't transpire for him, which again, unfortunate for him, but great for us as fans at home, because suddenly the favourite for the Sunday is taken out of the equation, and we are genuinely thinking, oh my days, Mick Schumacher could do this. Mattias Ekström then, as you mentioned earlier, Megan, beat Kristoffersen 2-0 by the slimmest of slim margins, if ever there were one. Incredibly cheeky stuff, I thought, but I loved every second of it.
Yeah, that was a great one to watch too. I mean, I genuinely, again, like did not think Ekstrom was going to make it that far. But point, what was it? 0.06 seconds it was he had beat him by.
Something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, just insane numbers. Genuinely so close. But it was great to see Ekstrom in it as well. I mean, it's been a while, I think, for him now since he's won or since he's
Yeah,
made it to the
extreme, I think
finals.
so. He'd won three previously to now, because he'd
Yes.
beaten Michael a couple of times, and I can't remember who the third person he beat was. But again, it's been a little while since he's got there, so I think he's, as he was saying at the end of proceedings then on Sunday, it's like, I'm very much enjoying seeing all these young guns coming through, and I'll happily keep beating them as for as long as I can until I can't anymore. Like, that's the exact right attitude I want for this.
Yes.
Then, kind of again, this father son dynamic, Schumacher beat Vettel 2-0. And okay, we could say Vettel was helping slightly, but also it's a spectacular way to help him out here, because he just got lost on the first race, went to the wrong side of the track, and then just crashed into a snowbank. And it's kind of like something out of a TV comedy. It's like, yep, he doesn't know how to drive a car. And then you think, wait a minute, that's a four-time Formula One world champion. Oh my days, what's happened here?
I want to see the confusion on Mick's face when he saw Vettel in his side of the track. Because
Yeah, because he
I think
kept
we were
going on
all
that
feeling
side
the
for quite a
same.
while. I'm like, dude, wrong side. Get back over.
Yeah. I think you can't be here.
And then he chose like the worst part of the track to try and go back over. Yes. It's like, that is the thickest bit of snowbank on the whole damn course. What are you doing, man?
It's like, we know you probably would let him win, but you didn't have to make it so obvious.
I know. It's just like, who's been teaching you recently, Latifi?
Yeah, right. Took some notes from the previous races.
But no, that was incredibly amusing, though. Like you said, we thought we were having a bit of fun with the advertising board, the Solberg, but then Vettel went, oh, my beer. Also, I shouldn't have been drinking that beer because I don't know how the hell to drive now. Ekström then beat Neville 2-0, which, again, he kept winning by slimmer and slimmer margins, which was great to see, which set up an Ekström-Schumacher finale. So very much like I was saying, the older, experienced guy who's been there and done it all and won it three times already up to that point against Mick Schumacher, who, okay, he's a good driver, but he's not the best couple of years. So, but he had an absolutely stonking Sunday. So like, this could go either way. And I don't know about you, Megan. I think you were probably maybe leaning more towards Mick. But for me, I genuinely didn't mind which way it went there, because both of them, they're just such nice guys and such good drivers.
Yes, I think I was going to be happy either way. Of course, I think I was a little bit rooting for Schumacher, given everything mm-hmm. that happened last year. I think he just needed that boost. But making it to the finals alone, I think, was enough for him. And just given the two's experience, I didn't have much confidence in the fact that Schumacher win. I honestly was more just impressed at how close he kept it between the two.
I mean, I think it wasn't a dominant win by any stretch, was it?
No, it was quite close. I thought I had the number, but I did not take it down. So that's unfortunate. I think he was less than a...
We'd give you the number, ladies and gentlemen, but we don't have it, so we won't.
Yes, apologies. but no, I mean, it was great either way. And the speech that Ekström gave at the end was so sweet to hear. Definitely good for all the Schumacher fans.
Especially so, because I remember last year Loeb was on top of the car when he won, and Vettel was kind of down by the side as he'd come second. He was quite happy. But then on Saturday this year, obviously with the father-son combo, they both got on the roof of the car and they were happy. And then this time Ekström got on top of the car and pulled Mick up there with him.
Yes.
And that was just really nice to see that. And also the little bit of conversation they had up there when he was telling him the story we haven't mentioned yet from the finale, which was that Ekström managed to not only win, but he managed to win with part of his car on fire.
Yes, of course. I can't skip over that.
Which he kind of just punched out as he was driving along. You could see the co-driver, or the passenger, sorry, just sitting there, like, not doing a damn thing. Like, no, if we die, we die.
Like, don't move, I'm not here.
Yeah. It's not a T-Rex from Jurassic Park. It's not a case of, if you don't move, it won't see you. It's fire. It's coming to get you. And yes. Ekström saying later on, is like, well, I knew there was a fire extinguisher at the finishing line, so I just had to get there quicker.
What a comment. Yeah, the fact that he was able to drive at such a speed while still punching down a fire, incredible focus. What a way to multitask. You know, you could definitely put that on his resume.
Also really amuses me that in F1, F2, and F3 in the last couple of years, we've seen several retirements caused by a fire extinguisher going off. It's caused them to retire. Actual fire in the car. Extra like, nah, I'll just punch it. Be fine.
It's a different level.
It is a different level. So Ekström there, like we say, he beat Schumacher 2-0, slightly on fire, to become a four-time champion of champions at the Race of Champions. But I want to put it to you before we wrap this episode up, Megan. Mick Schumacher, obviously decent in single-seaters. He won F3, he won F2. Okay, he was driving a Haas for his first year. That was probably one of the worst cars in F1 history. But last year, it was a better car. But I'm wondering, is he in the wrong form of motorsport? Should he be in WRC?
Oh, I think he would do great there, honestly. It would be nice to see him do something more than just be the reserve driver for Mercedes. I think it would be good for him to test out some other seats. I mean, there's so many other fields within motorsport that he could be running in or driving.
Definitely.
I guess I should say.
WRC in particular comes to mind. Extreme, I don't know where he would get in there. Nitro Rallycross, obviously I'm biased, but I would love that. But for me as well, World Rallycross, because he was doing pretty well in those cars over the entire weekend. And that needs something to boost its prestige at the moment, its pedigree as a category as a whole. And maybe Schumacher is the answer.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever see Vettel going that way either? I could see him
I could see him doing an Extreme E team, but I don't know if he'd race in it or not.
Fair enough. That's fair.
But yeah, he has expressed interest in it before, though, so maybe they need to do something together. Maybe they could do Dakar together next year, those two. Who knows?
Ah, that would be pretty cool. Yeah, I do think it would be nice to see Schumacher do something else. I think it would be both good for him and both good for, you know, the sport in general and just getting some noise out there. But I mean, of course, I would love to see him back in F1 when if that will ever happen.
I knew I couldn't get you around too early on.
It's too soon still. We'll see. We'll see. Maybe Audi 2026 will bring him back.
I don't see him coming back anytime soon. Plenty of time to do some off-roading in the meantime. And then when he's all done with that and he's won everything, then he can come back to F1 and it can humble him again. Maybe he's good at it then. Maybe he's not. We'll find out.
Yeah. I mean, he's got 3 years, so.
Exactly. But no, overall, quite an enjoyable race of champions for me. I enjoyed it a lot more than last year, I think, overall, despite Rock, but we won't mention them. And very deserving 1-2 finishes there with Ekstrom and Schumacher. Which, on that note, we will end this special shorter episode of the Undercut Podcast. And Megan, if people would like to find more of you in the meantime, where can they do that?
So as I am the co-host of Break Check, you can find us on our Break Check F1 podcast on Instagram and TikTok. Everything is at Break Check F1.
Nice and simple. Lovely stuff. As for myself, I have my other two podcasts, On the Curbs and the Nitro RX podcast. I also do some writing for Paddock Sorority, Paddock Passion, and Is It Fast? And obviously you can find both Megan and I on Instagram. Pretty much just search our names. We're the handsome people that turn up when you search. Unless you have anything else that you want to say before we wrap up, that is all we've got time for, Megan.
No, that's it. That's all I have. Thanks for having me on.
Our pleasure. And we'll try and get you back on in the F1 season as well at some point. We've got 6 million races this year, so I'm sure we'll find the time.
Perfect.
Right. In the meantime, thank you very much for listening, everyone, and we'll see you again soon.